You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new study has shown that if transport were to be decarbonised, this would have substantial health benefits for individuals. The research further suggests two different pathways to do this, which had been mentioned in the Climate Change 2021 advice to the government. I spoke to Associate Professor in the Department of Public Health at the University of Otago and co-author of the study, Carolyn Shaw, about what these findings mean and how these pathways could improve health statistics in Aotearoa. The new study, Policy Approaches to Decarbonising the Transport Sector in Aotearoa, New Zealand, Modelling Equity, Population Health and Health System Effects, suggests major life benefits to a decarbonised transport system in the country. What are some of these benefits?
So we modelled a whole range of different ways that we could improve health, and some of them are mental health and some of them are physical health. And they include benefits from reduced air pollution and the health impacts of that, which includes things like asthma and reduced respiratory diseases and lung cancer. And then there would also be benefits of a low-carbon transport system of increased physical activity. And there's a really wide range of health conditions which would improve with increased physical activity. So that includes things like depression, various cancers, heart disease, strokes, quite a wide range of different conditions. And then there'll obviously be improvements from reduced road traffic injury as well, so reduced both deaths and serious injuries.
Despite the suggestion that decarbonising transport has positive impacts on health in general, physical and mental, the government has halved funding for walking and cycling initiatives in the recently released National Land Transport Program, as well as ending previous subsidies for Auckland Transport up here in Auckland for Auckland Transport fares, which were implemented last year. What are the current health standards like in an Aotearoa where people heavily rely on carbonised transportation?
So we've done other work that showed sort of the significance of the transport system for health in New Zealand, and that's, we did a bunch of work and then other people have also done a whole lot of work. And what we can say is, while I can't give you a number of people who are kind of killed or seriously harmed by the transport system each year, we do know that it's in the thousands at least, and it's probably greater than the number of people whose health is harmed from smoking every single year because of the arrangements of the current transport system. I think it's really important to point out as well that this isn't just sort of something we have to put up with as part of being able to travel around. We don't have to have a transport system that kills or seriously injures or puts all these number of people in hospital each year. We can still get benefits of the transport system and we can have fewer adverse health impacts from it by making different policy choices.
Have we seen research from overseas in places like Amsterdam in the Netherlands, where the city has implemented infrastructure that supports cycling as a form of transport? Have these changes helped with improving overall health statistics?
Yeah, that's a great question. We know, for example, that in the Netherlands, about half of the population cycles for an hour every single day. So they get quite high levels of physical activity. And I think it's fair to say that that contributes to better health. It's sometimes quite hard to know, because these changes happen over quite a prolonged period of time, what the actual impact of those specific changes are. But we've certainly seen quite good evidence from kind of events where cars, for example, there's suddenly a reduction in cars in a city, and we've seen reductions in air pollution and quite a lot of health benefits in that very immediate period of time. So there's plenty of evidence out there showing that these relationships are there and there, that they cause health impacts and that reversing them improves health.
The research also suggests two possible transport pathways, which had been outlined in the Climate Change Commission's 2021 advice to the government, Inaia Tonunei, a low emissions future for Aotearoa. Could you discuss a little bit about what these transport pathways would entail?
So the Climate Change Commission, when they put together their really big report in 2021, looking at the way that New Zealand's whole economy could move towards net zero by 2050, they kind of came up with a series of potential pathways for each of the parts of the economy, and transport's obviously one important part of it. So they came up with seven pathways, and then they took one that they used in their main report, which was sort of a midpoint pathway, I guess, But what we did is we took the two most different ones and looked at them because we thought that that would provide the biggest contrast. And essentially, what these two different pathways for transport show is how we would travel as a country in 2050. And the pathways show, both of them, show they're quite different from how we travel now in terms of the Climate Change Commission thought that we would travel less than we do currently, so there would be more working from home, denser cities, so we don't have to travel as far. So we would travel a bit less. We would all travel more on public transport in both of the scenarios that we modelled from the Climate Change Commission. And in one of them, the what they called the further behaviour change pathway, we would cycle an awful lot more than we do currently and walk a little bit more. So they came up with these two different pathways and we took them and then we modelled what the health impacts would be of the two different pathways. And I think it's important to say that both of them would be better than our current transport system. So they both showed some health improvement. But the further behaviour change pathway, which had more physical activity and a greater reduction in the amount that we travelled, it showed much higher levels of health benefit. And that's, of course, because we understand how good physical activity is for health. And it showed a much higher level of savings for the healthcare system as well. So we wouldn't need to be treating as many people in hospital every year. So we'd sort of save money and free up resources to be able to use on other health conditions.
You kind of touched on this already, but I was going to ask, how would these pathways improve the health benefits by decarbonising transport?
Yeah, so what they do is these different pathways, I didn't mention earlier, I should have, sorry, is that they both rely on moving to a much higher level of electrified vehicle fleet as well, so higher electric car level. So basically they reduce the amount of air pollution that we're exposed to because we're not travelling as much, so there aren't people driving as many cars. And the move to electric vehicles also to some extent reduces some of our air pollution exposure. And we're increasing the amount of physical activity we're doing by cycling, but also by walking to public transport. And because we are not driving as much as we were, our accident rates would come down as well. So fewer people in cars, fewer cars on the road, there's actually fewer injuries that occur, fewer crashes. So those are the specific pathways by which we would see health benefits.
Do you believe that these changes would be possible in a somewhat nearby future, or is it too early to tell?
These changes are all really plausible. So the Climate Change Commission did not model pathways that they didn't think were plausible. And I personally, as a researcher, I think some of the assumptions they made are relatively conservative. So they're certainly plausible, and I think elements of these systems are already in place in other countries. So we can look to places like Scandinavia, particular cities around the world, and we can see that they have put in place policies that support much higher levels of public transport, higher levels of walking, higher levels of cycling, and reduced car use. All of these are, in my view, entirely supported by evidence. I guess I'd like to say as well is that we looked at what these pathways would do for equity. So we looked at what it would they would do for the life expectancy differences between Māori and non-Māori in Aotearoa, because we know that Māori have shorter life expectancy. And the pathway that had the biggest impact on health, which was the further behaviour change pathway, would also reduce the life expectancy differences between Māori and non-Māori. So it would contribute to us having a fairer society as well as a healthier and happier society.
That was Associate Professor in the Department of Public Health at the University of Otago, Carolyn Shaw, about a new study she co-authored showing significant health benefits to decarbonising transport.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.